John chapter 17. If you remember, Jesus had been talking to the disciples. He was now on his way to the garden, and quite possibly he'd stopped right there in the temple we had talked about, on his way to the garden, and he stops to pray. We call this truly the Lord's Prayer, not like what we often think of as the Lord's Prayer, which is nothing more than a model prayer. But here we see Jesus pour out his heart. Certainly it is instructional to the disciples, but it is something that some of the most powerful, I believe, words that he spoke even here on earth. We started looking at the prayer at verses 11 and 12. We'll go ahead and start reading in verse 11. It says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep to thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name. Those whom thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." You know, as we look and think about what is sanctification, the Lord Jesus Christ here was talking to the Father and asking that he would sanctify those that had followed Christ, and especially and specifically the disciples there. And in this passage, we see God setting, what is sanctification? Sanctification really is just to be set aside for God's purposes or God's use. And there's really three aspects of sanctification. And we're going to spend a long time looking at one and just kind of mention the other two. You know, we are justified by grace through faith when we are first saved. What is justification? Well, justification is really giving us God's righteousness, or Christ's righteousness, and he is taking our sin. And so to sanctify means to be set apart for God's exclusive use. By the way, our sanctification is past, it is present, and it is future. And the three that we're looking at is going to be positional, practical, and future, or what you could say our, it just left me, one of the words left me. I want to say the word status, but that's not right. We'll just stick with, what's that?
Prospect.
Prospect. Okay, I like that. I like that better than future. I'll have to keep that one in mind. I want to write that one down, Doc. All right. So we've been sanctified, we are being sanctified, and we shall be sanctified if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're going to do a lot of turning in our Bibles. We're not going to have Bible drills. I'm not going to make you hold your Bible up and see who the first one to stand up is. But I do want you to turn along with me, if you will. I'm going to be handing several of these out, and you can turn or you can write these down and look at them later. And I'm going to start on this side. Doc, I'm going to ask you to look up 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Doc Scoville, would you please look up 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2? And Harvey, I'm going to ask you to look up Hebrews 10, verse 10. And by the way, we're going to refer to that verse several times tonight, Hebrews 10, verse 10. I'm going to keep going back. Pastor Stevens, would you look up 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. And Brother Holland, will you look up 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4? So if we are sanctified, have you ever wondered this? We always say this. Listen, God is not going to allow any sin into heaven. And we say, oh, I agree with that. And so we tell somebody, you've got to be saved and have your sins forgiven. But then we think about this, we realize that 1 John 1:9 is really being written to Christians that says if we confess our what? Sin. As a matter of fact, if you go to 1 John 1:10, if you say, oh, no, I don't need that verse, God calls you a liar and says that the truth is not in you. And so there's this idea or this chasm, a dichotomy, if you will, of saying that no sin can go to heaven, but we have to get saved in order to go to heaven, but yet Christians still need to confess their sin. And so how can we go to heaven if we still have sin? That's the question that has to be answered, and I think we can answer it tonight. Let's go ahead and look at some of these verses as we begin to understand the difference between positional and practical sanctification. All right, Dr. Childs, would you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11? Amen.
But you are sanctified.
Yes.
But you are justified in the name of our Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And by the Spirit of our God.
Amen. Amen. Listen, we'll look at some of those verses before verse 11, but understand it's a list of wicked characteristics and attributes, and it says, and such were some of you, but you're washed, and you are sanctified, you are set apart. Doc, will you read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2?
Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours.
Now you understand that the church of Corinth was not the best or most godly place to go to church. They're a carnal church. They had a lot of problems, and Paul dealt with problem after problem after problem. But even knowing what he's going to write about, even knowing the problems that they had, he said that you are saints. Carries with it the idea of being a holy one. Someone that is holy. Now, listen, if you knew somebody was struggling with pride and division and dissension, you might not look at them and think, oh boy, they are a holy one. But you understand, it's not what we see on the outside, it's what their faith has worked on the inside that God is looking at. What does Hebrews 10, verse 10 say, Brother Measler? Amen. Like I said, we're going to come back to that verse several times. But let's go ahead and just brush across it for just a moment. We are sanctified through what? The offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we are sanctified. And so our sanctification is us setting apart and realizing that we are sinless in God's sight positionally. It's important to put that modifier on the end of that. 2 Peter 1:4, could you read that for me? I think it's Brother Stevens. I'm sorry, go ahead, read that one.
2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
All right, so there is a difference. If God sees us as holy, how then can we perfect ourselves? There is the difference, and what I'm trying to see is the difference between positional and practical sanctification. Brother Holland, would you read 2 Peter 1:4? All right. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you holy. He doesn't sanctify us partially. It's not just a little bit of us that is set aside. It is all of us. Your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And so, if I could boil this down, as we think about positional sanctification, what we are is really as righteous and as holy as Jesus Christ is. Now, that's hard to imagine. If I were to walk up to you before this service and ask you, are you as righteous as Jesus Christ? Our first response would probably be no. But positionally, we are as righteous as He is. You might ask yourself, well, if I am as righteous as Jesus Christ, does that mean that I'm going to reach sinless perfection? I've got bad news for you. Well, I've got good news for you. The truth of the matter is, one day you will reach sinless perfection. But the bad news is, it's not going to be in this lifetime. And it's not going to be in this body. Positional sanctification is really, you could think of it as our standing before God. We are called saints and sanctified. Romans 1:7, much like 1 Corinthians, it said, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father. 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3 says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. That's the glorification. That's when we reach sinless perfection. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. By the way, let me just put a little comma on there before we move on and say this. Our position in Christ ought to be what motivates us to live a clean and holy and purified life. That's what this is saying right here. He's saying, listen, because you have the hope of knowing that you're going to spend eternity in a God that has sacrificed Himself for you, we ought to be willing to live for Him today. And so in our standing, that is our position or relationship with God, all believers are classified as saints. I grew up thinking that a saint was only somebody that had showed up at least three times after their death to perform some miracle. And you say, that's ridiculous. I agree. I was brainwashed. I didn't know any better. I'm thankful the Holy Spirit of God worked in my life, and I know better now. There is not a second or separate class of believer or Christian that is a saint. All of us here that have trusted Christ are saints. So if I leave and call you Saint Jeremy on the way out, that's how we are. Just don't call me Bishop Davidson, okay? Acts 20:32 tells us, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That's all those that have trusted Christ. We read you another passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Here's the list that I was talking about. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And here's what he says, and such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Here's how we become sanctified. We said Hebrews 10:10 reminds us that the sanctification comes through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. But Hebrews 10:14 goes on to tell us, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. It's not something that has to happen over and over and over again. Let me tell you, if you've worked in any kind of bus ministry, you've seen children that are terribly confused about salvation. Oftentimes, on a vacation Bible school, it would not be uncommon for somebody, for a young child to come forward and say something like this: "This is the third time I've gotten saved this year." What are they saying? They're confused. Now you get to the little bit older kids, there's still some confusion. And here's what I feel is a big part of the confusion. It's not that they don't understand in those older years or the teen years what you're trying to explain to them about sin and about Christ's sacrifice and salvation. But what happens is they go back and they're immersed back into the world. They have no support system, spiritually speaking, to help them to grow. And if they truly got saved, they no longer feel saved. And so they think, boy, I want that same feeling I got when I first got saved. I think some of them are chasing that. They have no understanding that it was just one sacrifice. The Catholic Church sacrifices Christ every Sunday on the altar that they have in the form of a Eucharist. Let me tell you, that is blasphemy. That is against what the Bible is teaching about our sanctification. It was one time, one sacrifice. I'm thankful for that. Jude reminds us the book of Jude in verse 1 reminds us that Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Listen, sainthood or sanctification is not something that you have to attain. You don't have to go out there and work for it. You don't have to go out there and do. Listen, just the same as you don't have to do anything for your salvation, we always say, yeah, you know what? Our salvation is all of grace. It's our faith and God's grace, and we're so thankful for that. But we think that the Christian life then is going to be lived on our effort after that. It's not. And it's the same faith and the same grace that works your salvation is what works your sanctification. God in His grace saves sinful men, and the sanctification that we have as Christians is given to us at the moment of our salvation. Positional sanctification relates to the fact that the believer has been redeemed and cleansed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and we've been forgiven of all of our sins and placed in a new relationship with God. And so positional sanctification is already true of every believer. We have once and for all been set apart for God. And so, as I said earlier, that's why we're called saints now. Because that is what we are seen in God's sight. We've been sanctified and are holy before God. We are accepted in the Beloved. And so, how do we make this, how do we collate this idea then of being saints and set apart and not anything that we can do, and yet we still have to be forgiven? That is the difference between our position and our practice. Okay? And so as God sees us here living our lives, still sinful, still fighting that old nature that we have, He sees us through Christ, through the blood of Christ. And He sees us as righteous as Jesus Christ. And so all them that are in Christ are as righteous as He is before the Father. Now, with that in mind, the idea is to progress in our sanctification. So we call it practical or a practice, but it ought to be a progressive sanctification so that when God calls us out of this world, and whether it's through death or through the rapture, it's not that great, it's not as big of a leap tomorrow as it would be today, in a sense. Let me try to clarify that a little bit. I don't want to say that it's going to be a small leap, because we're going to lose that old nature altogether, and that's going to be a huge leap for each and every one of us. But the idea is we are growing in our walk with Him. We are constantly getting closer to Him. And in that sense in James, where it talks about cleansing our hands and drawing nigh to God, that is a daily increase. Unfortunately, that is not represented or representative of many Christians' lives. I remember several years ago, we went to an amusement park in Sandusky, Ohio. There's about 14 major roller coasters there. And I had an opportunity to be drugged by Quincy to go ride every single one of them, okay? I was still young enough to enjoy most of them. You go up, some of them now you go straight up, and then you come straight down, and that's the whole ride. You wait 3 hours for about 15 seconds worth of excitement. And I'll tell you why I might enjoy getting on a roller coaster and going for a three-minute ride. That's not what I want my Christian life to look like, where you're going up 1 minute and you're streaking down the next, and you're going around all sorts of curves, and your whole life is kind of in turmoil all the time because you're unstable. The Bible says that we're unstable in all our ways when we just don't make our mind up to live for Christ. And so, as we think about this prayer that the Lord was praying, I think about go back to John, if you would, John chapter 17. Let me say this about the idea of sanctification. As I said, my standing with God, your standing with God as a Christian, causes you to be as righteous as Jesus Christ, as holy as the Holy One of Israel in our position. By the way, this position never changes. All believers are sanctified positionally. One day, as I mentioned, we will be glorified. We will lose this old sin nature, but this is after our death. And so our progressive sanctification is progressing during our whole earthly Christian life. Our future or ultimate sanctification will not be fulfilled until we see Jesus in glory. The Corinthian believers were sanctified, but yet they were still carnal. All right. A.T. Robertson said this, "The divine will, unfulfilled in animal sacrifice, is realized in Christ's offering of himself." God the Father dealt with our sin by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sin of those who put their faith and their trust in him. He bore sin's penalty and canceled the claim of justice against the sinner forever. And so God judged and punished sin when? At the cross. He canceled the claims against all those who put their faith and trust in Christ. So God the Father loves us the same that he loves the Son, with an eternal, infinite, unchangeable love. Aren't you glad nothing can separate you from the love of God? Think about that then, the difference between this position in our practice, and then one day, the future sanctification of all believers. As we look again at verse 17, sanctify them. What is he saying? He's saying, separate them. Put them aside for your use, Father. That's what he's praying. And then he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. All right, so as positionally, we are as righteous as Christ. God sees us through the blood of Christ, and we will have no trouble if we've trusted Christ in going to heaven when we die because of what Christ has done for us. But yet, positionally, we said we need to grow. We need to be becoming more Christ-like. How do we become more Christ-like? This is not rocket science, I promise. This is not even hard. This is one of the Sunday school top three, okay? Go to church, pray, and what? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. If God's word is truth, and that, by the way, when I say if, I mean since. Since God's word is truth, we can be sanctified as we immerse ourselves in his word. What a prayer to pray. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 18, he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Listen, we are in a wicked culture. We are in a, what I would call post-biblical culture. More and more, now down here in the South, I think there's still a lot of heritage, I guess. But you go to some places, you cannot start with, are you a sinner? You've got to go all the way back to, listen, there's a creator that created everything we see. And so just the biblical knowledge that our culture used to have is gone. And when you witness to somebody, like I said, down here, I think there's still a lot of religiosity, and I think there's still some biblical understanding or knowledge, but I think we've got to be careful and not assume that the person we're talking to understands what we're talking about. And by the way, when you're witnessing to somebody, when you're telling somebody about their need for a Savior, you should avoid words like sanctification unless you have time enough to explain that. Don't use theological words that you have an understanding. Listen, there are a lot of other cults out there that have already hijacked several of these ideas and given their own definitions to them. And so when you use a word, you need to make sure that the person that you're talking to understands that it has the same definition that you're trying to use. Do you understand? Don't just throw out something like justification. You'll be justified if you get saved. I don't know anybody that witnesses that way, but I'm just saying don't do it. Tell them what it means. Help them to understand. But we're in a world that is immoral, a world that just like always is going contrary to God's will, His moral will. So wouldn't it be great then if we just build a commune and isolated ourselves from the world so we wouldn't have to worry about the influences that this world has on our children? It has terrible influences, doesn't it? Wouldn't it be great if we just isolated ourselves from all the influences so that we wouldn't be affected by the world? Some people believe that. Some people have sequestered themselves and isolated themselves. But do you realize what God is saying? He's saying that, or excuse me, what the Lord is saying in His prayer to the Father? He's saying, listen, I was in the world and I'm sending them into the world. Now, we're not of the world, but we are in the world. And we're not to isolate ourselves so that we don't brush shoulders with lost people. We're not to isolate ourselves. Listen, we don't partake of what they're enjoying, and we don't chase after the things they're chasing after. But don't think that there's some utopia on earth that's going to separate you and isolate you from any temptation in this world. It'll never happen. And you'll live a life of disappointment, wondering why God has allowed you to be tempted, blaming God for failure. He's already told us that He sent us into the world. We are the light. We're what's going to change culture. We're what's going to see people get saved. And He's working through us to cause culture to change. Now, in the whole big grand scheme of things, let me just say this. I don't think we're ever going to change the direction of culture completely. Do you understand? It's counter to Christ. It is the spirit of anti-Christ, against Christ, if you will. But I think, as I've said before, the darker in which the culture that we live, the brighter we shine as Christians. And let me tell you, as base as some segments of our culture is, there are people that are looking for something different. Even lost people. I'll tell you, even people that are caught up in immorality, their conscience and God allows them to be convicted about things, and they are looking for someone or something that's going to help them to get out of that mess. They're looking for some kind of change in their life. We just need to be faithful and keep sowing and keep planting. We're in the world. We're not of the world, but we're to reach the world. We're not to isolate ourselves, but we are to guard ourselves. And how do we fortify ourselves? How do we make sure that we stay off of the roller coasters and just get on that mountain climb closer and closer to the Lord? We immerse ourselves in God's Word. Can I tell you, reading is good, but it's not enough. Reading is very passive. Brother Hankey's has an excellent series on studying the Bible. And I encourage you I think you ought to read your Bible. That is very passive. And I don't think a whole lot is retained in your spiritual life that way. There has to be a time that you set aside to study and glean what God is saying. And listen, ask God to give you something when you sit down to read His Bible. I think it's interesting. Verse 19, it says, "And for their sakes, I sanctify myself." Only God could say that. You can't sanctify yourself. You see, it's the Holy Spirit working through His Word. See, it says in verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth." He's saying, he's asking God the Father to do the work in them, but yet he sanctifies himself. What is he saying? He's set apart for the work that God has given him to do, which is what? This, remember, this is just hours before he's to be arrested. He knows that it's now his time, and he's saying, I've been set aside, I've been set apart, I've set myself apart in order to accomplish God's will. What a tremendous and powerful saying. And so really, Christian, it's not a difficult question that I need to ask tonight in light of what we've looked at in these verses. But I'll tell you, the answers are difficult. The first question I need to ask you tonight is, do you have that positional sanctification that you can only get by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know for sure that when you die, you're going to spend eternity with God in heaven? He'll not let any sin into heaven, but only as He looks at a Christian through the blood of Christ can He see perfection. And if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ, maybe you have an understanding, and I think I'm looking at people, I don't know that there's not anyone in here that hasn't made a profession. But it needs to be but I want to make sure that you are sure. But secondly, Christian, what does your practical sanctification look like? Your progressive sanctification. If you look at your life, does it look like it's up one minute and down the next minute and around the corner the next minute and you're just doing topsy-turvies and you just really look back at the last year and you say, I don't know that I'm any closer to God today than I was a year ago. That's a travesty. That's a travesty. Now, I don't know that we can measure spiritual growth like you can measure attendance or measure your weight. If that were true, I could probably say, you know what? I know I'm heavier this year than I am last year. Does that mean I'm more spiritual? Probably, maybe just the opposite. But we want to make sure that we have that desire to be closer to Him. One of the ways you can ask yourself that is, how immersed am I in His Word? Do I spend time with God daily? Am I being set apart? Am I accomplishing God's will in my life? The Lord here prays a powerful prayer. And I'm thankful that we can grow in our progressive sanctification, our practical walk. Christian, don't be satisfied with where you are spiritually, but allow what Christ says here to motivate us. And then think about the fact that He is sending us into the world. To go into the world unarmed is lunacy, really. But we can arm ourselves with the same thing that sanctifies us, God's Word. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I pray, Lord, that You would help each and every one of us to be honest about our walk with You. Lord, help us to spend time in Your Word, to grow, to progress in our sanctification. Lord, I pray that there wouldn't be one here that would leave without really being honest with themselves, honest with You. Lord, I pray that we would live a life that resembles more of a mountain climb than a roller coaster. Father, we thank You for Your Word and how it does sanctify us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.